Hey, we're headed to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, verses 1 through 11 is where I'm going to begin today in a message titled Get Ready that I believe is going to bless us. And this one's going to challenge us a little bit today as well. You might want to pull your toes back in your shoes a little bit this morning. This one's going to challenge us a little bit, but it's a good word that's going to help equip us here in our church. Joshua chapter number 1, I'm going to read through verses 1 through 11. Amen. It tells us this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a good promise. Amen? Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Who wants to be successful wherever you go? Amen? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we look to your word, once again, Lord God, as a church, we come in believing that it will equip us to live for you. I pray that you would help us, Lord God, to grasp truth from this passage, Lord God, not simply as head knowledge, but as knowledge that we can apply in our lives, Lord God, that we will be stronger in you. And even as Joshua was challenged and encouraged to be strong and courageous, that he might be successful in the task that was before him, may we also be a strong and courageous people who find success in the task before us as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Church, would you pray with me, Lord? Help me to be all you created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Moses had died. We read that in the text. Moses had died for 40 years. The Hebrew people, as many of us know, had wandered around. They had wandered around in the wilderness. Moses had showed up after living on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He had shown up in Egypt through a series of plagues and miracles. He then delivered the children of Israel. But when they came out of Egypt and they headed toward the promised land, as you probably also know, they didn't get to go into it. There's a lot that went on, and we'll talk about some of that again in just a moment. But because of that, they had to wander around in circles for 40 years out in the desert, out in the wilderness, and wait. Well, those 40 years are now finished, and Moses has died, and now it's time for a new leader. That new leader, we just see in our text, would be Joshua. It's his time to lead. And God comes to him and speaks the words to Joshua, get ready. It's your turn now. It's your time. It's time for you to get ready for what's to come, and then encourages him with some things. It was a new season. It was time for him to move into what God had next for both he as well as God's people. But for Joshua to do that, there were going to be some things that Joshua was going to have to deal with. There were some things from the past. There was some baggage from the past. A lot had happened and had gone on in Joshua's life before he got to this point in his dealing with the children of Israel. And there were some things that Joshua, some issues, some obstacles that Joshua was going to have to overcome, some things that stood in the way of his becoming the man who God wanted him to be, and stood in the way of his leading God's people into the place where God wanted them to be. He was going to have to get through some stuff. And that's why God comes and challenges him the way he does in this passage. These were hindrances in his life that would keep him from realizing his true potential as a child of God. You know, when God looks at you, he sees your true potential as a child of God. That's why when God came to Gideon, and we considered him recently once as an illustration, the angel shows up, and although Gideon is in hiding, the angel calls him what? A mighty man of valor. It's because when God looks at you, God sees you as what you can be, not simply where you're at right now. God sees you maximized as a child of God, as a daughter of God, as a son of God. He knows what you and I are capable of. Let me assure you of something today. You're capable of doing more for the kingdom of God than you're doing right now. And so am I. We're capable of doing more as a church. We're capable of doing more as individuals because God always has more. He's a big God. Come on. He's a big God. God always has more. There's always more as we go forward. But for Joshua, there were some issues, some things he was going to have to sort through and work through in order for this to happen. You see, where we originally find Joshua is not right here in the book named after him. We find him for years traveling around with Moses, and he's Moses' right-hand guy. He's called here Moses' aide. He's the assistant, if you will. We could call him Assistant Moses. So he's there with Moses all along. So all that time of wandering around in the wilderness, Joshua is there. But we also know that Joshua was also there all the way back before that time started, because when they first left Egypt, Moses picked 12 people, a spy from each tribe. He said, go in and check out the promised land. Let's see what we're up against. Remember with me, when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said what? What did 10 of them say? Anybody remember who went to Sunday school? We can't do it. It's too much. They're like giants in the land. They'll kill us. We can't go in. But two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, come on. God is with us. We can take this. We can do this. Joshua's been around a long time. Because the people didn't want to go in, God would then say that none of the adults over the age of 20 would go in. The only people over the age of 20 that were in that group of hundreds of thousands of people that would enter the promised land 40 years later were Joshua and Caleb. They would enter in much later in their years. Other than that, everyone died out in the wilderness. Now, younger adults, 20 and under, they would get to enter in. Who's 20 and under in this room? Wave at me. Where are you at? Wave at me. Look at the hands. There's a few wishful thinkers and people that can't count. As you get older, the mind goes and you don't know how old you are. If you waved your hand, you're still around. You get to go in. You were there when everything went down, but no one else is there anymore. All this went on, and we find Joshua at this place where the older folks have died, and he's still there, and Moses has now died, and now it's time for him to enter into the promised land, and God comes to him telling him, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. I'm going to be with you. I want you to catch today as we look at this. I believe that Joshua had to fight some battles that weren't simply external battles. I know he was going to have to fight in Jericho. I know he was going to have to fight in Ai. I know he was going to have to fight the Hittites and the Amorites and all the other ites that were in the land. But before Joshua could fight external battles, he was going to have to fight some internal battles first that he would go through in order to face this land. Because it doesn't make any sense to tell someone not to be afraid unless they have something to be afraid of, or they're dealing with something, or to be courageous, and that's where he's at. God is telling Joshua that he wants him to be strong and courageous. He wants him to keep his word in his heart because God wants him to be successful in what he does when he goes forward. How many of you would say with me today, I want to be a failure for the kingdom of God? Oh, I think I might have tricked a couple of you. Yes. I better put my hand down. We don't want to be. I'm not on that point yet. If you guys can help me in the back, Brother Fred, I'm not quite there yet in the sermon. If you guys can back me up. They're jumping me ahead, yeah. Probably just the title tile. I'll get to that point in just a moment. Joshua wants to succeed, of course, and God wants him to succeed. God wants him to be successful in what he does. That's why God says in 1:7, he tells him as he goes in, 1:7 says that you may be successful. 1:8 says that then you will be prosperous and successful. God doesn't want you to fail at what you do. God doesn't call us to do things to set us up for failure. God wants us to succeed at what we do in him. We're overcomers in the kingdom of God, amen? And we want to do what we do well for him, in life in that call. So this call where God comes, he comes to Joshua and he tells him, Joshua, you're going to be strong, you're going to be courageous. I want you to be successful in what is next. Now let me say this, hear me. I want to mention this to you again before I jump into these points. God has more for you than what you have right now. God has more anointing for you. God wants you to do more. God wants you to further develop and grow in him. God wants to take you higher. God wants to take you deeper. God wants to take you further than you have ever been in your walk with him. God always wants to do more. There's always more than where I'm at right now. We never plateau in our walk with God because he sees us as all that we can be. But to get there, we also in our lives, like Joshua, will have to deal with some things along the way. The first thing that I believe Joshua had to deal with, and this is that point that you can put up for me in the back, is Joshua was going to have to deal with some strained relationships among the people of God. Some strained relationships among the people of God. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? You see, the same people that Joshua is about to lead into the promised land, the same people that Joshua is going to have to work with to go into the kingdom of God, these are the same people who opposed him when he was out in the wilderness. Are you with me? These are the people who used to be against him. These are the sons and the daughters of those who said to kill him when he came back from the promised land. And these, even when he was out in the wilderness wandering, these are the people who stood in his way and griped and complained about things all along the way. Let me show you a few different passages just to illustrate it for us, to refresh our memories. Exodus 16, 2 and 3 tells us this. Exodus 16, 2 and 3. In the desert, the whole community gave God praise. Does it say that? Are you with me? Come on. Look at that text. It says, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Then we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They're forgetting that they used to be slaves. And they've been brought out. And now they're complaining in the wilderness. Look at Exodus 17, verse 1. Let me read you this one. The whole Israelite community, how many of them? Camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. We're going to jump to Numbers. Now, we keep reading Moses when I read these, but who's Moses' assistant?
Joshua.
Who's right there with Moses whenever we find him? When Joshua goes into the tabernacle to pray, who does the Bible say went in there with him? Joshua. Joshua's always with Moses. He's his right-hand man. So I want you to remember that while Joshua is Moses' assistant, when all this is going on, Joshua is a witness and a part of all of it, of all that is going on here. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. I love these next two words. Who inspired the scriptures? Talk to me. God did. Who's the author of the scriptures ultimately? Who wrote the word of God? God did. I want you to remember that because the next two words say the rabble. That means God called them that. I love that. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. And then one last one, Numbers 16:41 says, the next day the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The list goes on and on and on. They are not a happy bunch. They are not a happy bunch. They complain all the time. They gripe all the time. They don't get along. They oppose their leaders. They stand against what Moses and Joshua and others would want to do. These are the people that Joshua has to work with. Remember that about them. Remember again when he was a part of the 12 spies and he came back. What did the people want to do to Joshua and Caleb? Put him in a timeout? No. What do they want to do to him? They want to kill them. That's how much they can't stand Joshua. They want to kill him for the things that he says. They're against him. They're opposed to him. And here Joshua is at the very start of his role, and he finds himself standing at a crossroads where now he gets to lead these people. And I believe Joshua has to make a decision in this moment. Joshua gets to decide, am I going to hold on to the hurts of the past? Am I going to hold on to what these people have said about me in the past? Am I going to continue and allow myself to be a bitter, angry, hurt person? Or am I going to forgive what happened yesterday so that I can go forward and be who God has called me to be? Are you with me today? That's where he stands. Because in order for Joshua to experience what God has for him, in order for the people of God to experience what God has for them, Joshua was going to have to forgive what happened in the past and say, you know what? We're still going to work together and we're going to go forward for the kingdom of God. Now, I know as I say this, you're thinking, but Pastor, that was a long time ago, and I can't even imagine a scenario where the people of God would not get along with each other. That doesn't happen anymore, right? Are you with me? We still do that today, right? Don't the children of God at times still clash with each other over things? You already know what I'm going to say. Not at this church, but at other churches, and you can tell them about it. But that still happens among the people of God. And tragically, what happens in our lives at times is people say things that hurt us, right? People say things that hurt us. I want to tell you right now, without you having to volunteer how old you are, you can be as old as Joshua, and somebody could have said some bad things about you to hurt you 40 years ago. You still remember what they said. I got the right crowd, right? You still remember what they said. If you're in here right now and you're a teenager, I hate to break it to you, but it's true, even though you need to forgive. But when you're 50, 60 years old, you're still going to remember where somebody hurt you, where somebody cut you down with their words, where somebody was opposed to you along the way. Joshua gets to stand in front of a group of people who have said terrible things about him, a group of people who have lied about him, a group of people who have opposed him, and now these are the people that he gets to work with to go in and take the promised land. Boy, that's a rough situation. That's a rough situation. It's still the same folks. But do you know what Joshua does? He's able to do that. He's strong. He's courageous. He forgives what happened in the past. And he goes forward because he knows, if I'm going to experience what God truly has for me, then I've got to leave yesterday behind. I've got to forget those things that lie behind. And I've got to press forward toward the mark of the high calling, as we would say today in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, that's a good place for an amen. Joshua does this. He recognizes this. His heart has been hurt. Things have been said, and yet he comes to this place where he extends grace, forgiveness, so that he can go forward. And the same is necessary in our lives as well. In our lives personally, in our lives collectively as a church, we also find ourselves at the same crossroads in life. Because somewhere along the way, be it at work, be it with your own family, be it with your friends, be it with whoever else, be it at church, somewhere along the way, somebody has said something and word got back to you and those words cut you deep. Are you with me? It hurt. Somebody lied about you. Somebody opposed you. Somebody said, no, she's not the right person for the job, and you found out they said that. Somebody said, no, don't pick him, and you heard they said that. Somewhere along the way, and you don't forget, these are the kind of things that happen where when you lie down at night to go to sleep, it echoes in your head. And you remember things that were said along the way. Joshua had that stuff as well. But I want to tell you, if you're going to grow in your walk with God, if you're going to become maximized in all that God has for you and who God wants you to be, you're going to have to forget what happened. You're going to have to forgive what happened yesterday. Are you with me? You're going to have to forgive things. And it doesn't even matter whether they ask you to forgive them or not. Because there's some folks that have done us wrong along the way in our lives, and they might not ever ask you to forgive them, but you know what? You need to forgive them anyway for your own sake. For your own sake, you need to forgive them so that you can go forward and grow into all that God has for you and who God would have you to be. Joshua chose to be strong. Joshua chose to move on. Joshua chose to let go of the past and to work with a group of people that he had not been able to work with previously. Think about that person you've had a strained relationship with, whoever they are. That can be tough. But when you come to that crossroads where now you need to work together, you're at a place where you have to make the decision of, am I going to live in bitterness or am I going to forgive so that I can grow and move forward in my walk with God? And that's what God wants us to do. That's who God wants us to be. Amen? That's the first thing. I want you to catch another thing here. Joshua was also going to have to overcome discouragement from past defeat. Discouragement from past defeat. Put that one up there for me. Thank you. You see, not only was there going to be opportunity in Joshua's life, or was there opportunity to be disappointed in others, there was opportunity to be disappointed in himself. In himself as well. He had had opportunity before where he had not really come through. Joshua could find himself at this crossroads and say to himself, why would I be able to lead the people now? When I tried to lead them before, it didn't work out. When God sent me out to the promised land to spy it out, and I came back and I tried to rally the crowd to go in, how did that go? That didn't go so well. Why do I think they'll listen to me now if they wouldn't listen to me the last time? I tried to influence them before. They don't listen to what I say. I tried to walk in this role before. It didn't work out before. Why would I think it would happen now? In our own lives, we can be in situations where maybe there's something in a relationship that's difficult, and later, after it's all done, when you're alone, you'll find yourself rehearsing the conversation, and you're like, oh, I should have said, oh, I shouldn't have said, oh, I wish I had, but you can't go backwards, can you? You can't go backwards. And for Joshua, no doubt, I'm sure he thinks, this didn't work out before. Maybe if I had done it differently, I don't know. But the point is, when I did it before, I failed. It'd be easy for Joshua to say, you know what? Pick somebody else. I already tried this. It didn't work before. I'm not interested in trying this again. What if they just want to kill me again? What if they want to oppose me again? I don't even want to be a part of this. And yet, we find that he had to overcome this in his life. We know he doesn't handle defeat too good. We know he doesn't handle defeat too good because we're given a story of it in his book of Joshua. After the great story of Jericho, there's a little battle that happens at Ai where the children of Israel lose the battle. When they lose the battle, we get to see how Joshua emotionally handles defeat. Let's put it up for you. It's Joshua 7, 6 through 9. Joshua 7, 6 through 9 says this. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you even bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Listen to what he's saying to God. He's saying to God, God, you told us to come over here, but you messed up. You messed up. We'd have been better off if we had stayed over there, is what he's saying to God. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like the people who were complaining to him when Moses was the leader. He sounds just like them. Now he's the one complaining of saying it was better before. He's fallen into that same trap. Keep reading here. It says this, pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? So here's how Joshua handles the defeat. He falls on his face. He's there for hours. He's putting dust on his head. He's crying, we'd be better off if we never even came over here. And in that context, you might think that God would come over to him, and I like to pick on Gene, so I could now. Stand up for me. You would think that God could come over to him and be like, there, there, put your head on my shoulder. There, there, I know you tried. It's okay. It's okay. You might think God doesn't come to him anything like that at all. Put Joshua 7:10 up. What does Joshua 7:10 say? Here's what God says to him. Joshua 7:10 says this. I wanted to show it to you, but I'm going to read it. It says, but there it is. But the Lord said to Joshua. What did God say to Joshua? Did God say, there, there, it's okay? Did God say that? Did God say, oh, come on over here and cry on my shoulder, you poor little thing? God's a father. What does God say to him? Get up. Get up. That's what God says to him. Why are you lying on your face like that? Get up. That's God's response to him. So Joshua, we know when he suffers defeat, he don't handle it too good, and he's got to overcome having to deal with past defeat in his life. But God's response to him, although, if Joshua comes to God, he says, you know, God, when I tried to lead these people before, it didn't go so well. I don't think I can do this. I'm going to just sit over here. You know what God's word's going to be? Yeah. Say it to me. Yeah. Get up. Get up. In your own life, it's God's word to you as well. It's God's word. If you're going to grow in your walk with God and be all that God created you to be, you could look back in your life as well and say, you know what? I tried to teach. I tried to do this. I tried to take the class. I failed at it. I tried to do this particular thing. It didn't work out. I tried to live for God. I blew it along the way. I tried to serve God in this area of ministry. I stumbled along the way. It didn't come through. You know what God says to you? Does God say, there, now it's okay to be a loser? Does God say that? No. What does God say? Get up. Get up. That's what God says. Get up. Why are you lying there? There's still more for you. There's still something next for you. God's word is you have it. You're not out. You're not out for the count. Get up and keep going. When we look at our past, we could thank it. We know the story of Moses that Joshua would learn under. He blew it when he first tries to lead the children of Israel. He ends up spending 40 years out there leading sheep instead of people. But God doesn't leave him out there because God's word is get up. God's word is you've got to overcome the past defeat. When Esther knows that genocide is coming and all of her people are going to be wiped out, she plans this dinner where she invites the king and Haman and everybody in. She says, I know what I'll do. I'll have a dinner. I'll make a great meal. What would you make? What's a good meal? What do you want to eat for lunch? Arroz con chuleta. That's what she says. Yes. Whatever you want. She plans a great meal. She invites them in. And I know what I'm going to do. When they get there, I'm going to tell the king what's going on. And he's going to know what's happening. And they have the salad. And they have the meal. And then they have Dominican cake for dessert because that's the best. And they have all this stuff and some trace ladies, whatever they eat. And then when they're done, everybody stands up to go home. They're like, bye, bye. And they all leave. And guess what Esther did? Nothing. Nothing. Read the text. She has to do another meal. She does nothing. She chickens out. She never says anything. Then she says, hey, can you come back tomorrow? Can you come back tomorrow? And God was okay with that because you know what God's word is when you don't come through? Get up. Come on, let me hear you say it again. God's word is get up to her as well. And then the next night she comes through because God's a God of second chances. When Peter blows it, God restores him. When Jonah tries to run, God brings him back in a fish. The fish spits him out on the shore and God says, get up. Get up. I still got something for you to do. I still have a work for you to do. You need to live for me. You need to go forward. There's more for you to accomplish. So Joshua is going to have to overcome past defeat in his life as well. He's got to work with the people he has not been able to work well with or get along with. He's got to overcome the past and go forward with that. And then just as a last thought today, Joshua has got to face and deal with confidence in his own ability. Confidence in his own ability. Joshua was picked by a leader who was not very popular at all. Moses is not a popular leader. Moses is not winning any popularity polls. If you had gone around and asked the people, what do you think of Moses? It's not that they follow him because they like him. They follow Moses, this will be my staff. They follow Moses because he's the man with the staff. This is why they follow Moses. What happens at the banks of the Red Sea when Moses holds the staff out? What happens? The water parts into. At the Red Sea, the water parts into. Well, yeah, blood comes in the plagues. You're right there. But at the Red Sea, the water parts, right? What happens when the people are all grumbling and complaining and Moses takes his staff and tilts it forward? The earth opens up and swallows all these people and they all get crushed. Had to get you. Moses is the guy with the staff. The people are complaining and snakes all come and bite him. True story. Read it. Look it up. Snakes come and get him and he has to pray to stop it. Moses is the leader, not because he's popular. Moses is the leader because he's the man with the staff. You can imagine you come to Moses and you're complaining, I don't want to eat cucumbers anymore. I want to eat arroz con pollo. I'm sick of this stuff. Why do I got to have manna all the time? And Moses sitting there sharing, all Moses have to do is this, kind of tilt the staff forward a little bit. You'd be like, it's good. Cucumbers are fine. I'm all right. Cucumbers are good. No worries. I'll stick with the onions. No big deal. Moses leads because he's the man with the staff. Now I know God chose him. So Joshua becomes the leader. You picture Joshua walking in, and I'm there, and I'm part of the children of Israel, and I look at him. What's going to be my first observation? I ain't got no staff. There's no staff anymore. I don't know about this guy. I'm not sure. So Joshua's got to deal with confidence in his own ability. Can I really do this? Because again, when he had tried before, that hadn't gone so well. So now he's got to determine, am I really going to be able to do what God wants me to do in this situation? It'd be too easy to think, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm the right person for the job. I don't know if I have the skills necessary to pull this off. So God would constantly reassure him, Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. I'm going to be with you, Joshua, just like I was with Moses. Hear me, church. If God picked you, you're the right person for the job. Hello. If God chose you, then you can do it. If God opened the door, then you can walk through it. If God gave you the opportunity, then you can exceed at it. If God gave you the gift, the talent, or the ability, then you're the right person to have it. God didn't make a mistake. He picked you on purpose. If you've got it, it's because God knows you were the one to walk in that and to possess that ability. God chose you. Joshua would have to grapple with that in his own life. Am I the right guy? But if God chose you, you are the right person. And we could look at ourselves in any situation and think the task is too great. I can't really do this. But if God is with us, come on. There's nothing too hard for God, right? Joshua needs to know, man, by myself, maybe I'm not enough. But with God on my side, I've got what I need. I've got what I need. Silver Spring, God has more for us as a church than what we've ever experienced before up until now. And that's not in any way making light of yesterday. God always has more. God always wants to do more. God always wants to do greater things. You say, well, here's ways we've impacted the community. God wants to do it bigger. Here's ways we've supported missionaries. God wants to support more of them. Here's ways we do. God always has more. God always has increase over us collectively as well as over us personally in our lives. But if we're going to walk in that as individuals, or if we're going to walk in it collectively as a church, we're going to have to forgive some folks. Because one of the things you have to do in order to experience all that God has for you is you've got to overcome relationships that get strained along the way. Because somewhere along the way, we rub each other wrong. Don't we? Am I right? It happens. It happens at home. Don't you do it at home? Don't you do it at home as husband, wife, brothers, sisters, parents, kids? Don't you get on each other's nerves sometimes? You would not believe how much Sarai gets on my nerves. That's not true. I do it to her. Yes. You do it at home, but you know what you do at home? You forgive each other and you keep loving each other and working together in order to do that. Well, church is a family as well, and we have to do the same thing. We have to overcome that as well. In fact, overcoming the strained relationships is so big that Jesus said, when you come to the house of God, and he's speaking about under the old covenant, and you bring a sacrifice to offer up to God, Jesus said, and you're going to bring it to altar, he says, leave it and go get things right with your brother or sister first, then come back and offer it. That's how big of a priority this is to God. You know why? Because you can't be okay with God if you're not okay with God's kids. Yes. You can't be. My wife and I had the great privilege of going and visiting our sons for the last couple of days. And we don't really care about them too much. We saw them for years, but our grandson and granddaughter were there, and that matters more. But anyway, we got to see our sons. So one of my sons, the one with the kids, they're planning to come for a few days in October, and many of you, I'm sure, will get to meet them when they're here. And imagine that my son Nathaniel comes here, and he comes to church, and Debbie meets my son. And Debbie meets him, and then he goes back home, and she comes back to me the next Sunday. She said, Pastor, I like you so much, but I do not like your son. I don't like him. I can't stand him. And then she walks away. And then she comes back to me later, and she's all happy when she sees me. Do you think we're okay right now? We're not okay right now. Because if you don't like my kids, we're going to have a hard time. Like if you walk around saying bad things about my kids, we're going to have a hard time in relationship. Then, do you know God's just like that? God's just like that with his kids. I can't say bad things and pull down God's kids and then go to God and say, oh God, I love you so much. God's going to be the same way I'd be. Like, you think we're okay with each other? We're not all right. Things aren't good between us right now because you're talking bad about my kids. Who God's kids are is they're all around us. They're the children of God, the people of God in church and other churches that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. No, this strained relationship thing is so big that Jesus says, you get that one right first because I can't be good with God until I'm good with you. It's that important. You can't be good with God until you've done as much as lies within you to live at peace with all men, as the Bible says. So man, if we're going to be who God wants us to be, we've got to overcome this as well. We've got to also get past defeats of the past. Oh, we tried that before. It didn't work. I've tried to do this before. It didn't work. No. We have to do that. So you know what? It's a new day. It's a fresh start. God is with me. I'll keep going forward. So we're gonna extend forgiveness. We're gonna know, in spite of defeat happened in the past, the grace of God was sufficient in our lives, and we're gonna extend it where it's needed in other lives. Grace is always a beautiful thing when you're on the receiving end, right? Always, it's the giving it that's the hard part. So we're going to give it. We're going to receive it there as well. But then again, we're going to continue to go forward in Him, responding to that call to get up, if you will. We're going to go forward in Him, knowing it's not just confidence in ourselves. It's confidence in who we are in Christ, in Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Joshua is going to have to develop as well. Would you stand with me today? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Joshua would go on to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You guys can come. Joshua would go on to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He would overcome these things. He would walk in this. Things that we need to walk in as well that would be tough. He would step it up and do this. And I know it couldn't have always been easy. But he would do it. He would do it. He'd say, you know what? I know I had a tough time. I want you to picture this. There's ministry leaders in the room. Our ministry fair Sunday is coming in just a couple of Sundays. So imagine I'm the ministry leader, and here I am at my table, and I'm standing there, and here comes Joan, and she and I have had a tough time over something in the past. Now, we haven't, but this is the illustration. So I'm standing here at my table, and I got my sign-up sheet or whatever, and I'm the Sunday school superintendent, and I'm the whatever ministry leader, I'm the girls' ministry leader on something, and here comes Joan, who I know, she and I in the past, maybe we haven't hit it off too good. And she said, oh, I like to work in Sunday school. I don't think so. I could pull the sheet back. I could be like, I don't know about all that. Or she could sign up and she just not get a phone call. But you know what? If I'm really going to experience all that God has for me personally, and if we're going to experience it collectively as a church, when she walks up and she does that, it's going to be, you know what? I got to let yesterday go. I got to forgive and leave behind what happened behind. And I'm going to have to pull a Joshua and work together and go forward. Because God has us here together, working together in our lives. Is that easy to do? Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard. Especially if somebody's really hurt you, that could be tough, right? That could be tough. Had to be tough for Joshua. Had to be tough for Joshua. And yet we see it there in the text, that he walked in it, he did it. He said, man, I'm doing that, I'm getting up, I'm going forward. We want to walk in it as well. We want to walk in it as well. You guys could just begin to play softly if you would. I want to pray for us at this time and give us a chance to respond to this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to sing, but first I want us to pray. I want us to pray in a response to this. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. This is a good time for searching our hearts. If Jesus said getting things right with each other is what you do first before you get things right with God, that this is a good time for searching our hearts and saying, you know what, God? What do I need to forgive? What's been said? What's been done? Where was I hurt? Am I still rehearsing the same conversations and holding on to the same bitterness over something that happened before? Or God, am I ready to let go of that and grow in you? Now's the time to say, you know what, God? I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive what happened before. I'm ready for a fresh start. I'm going to go forward in you. I'm going to go forward in you. Maybe as you search your heart, you say, man, I've tried to do some things in the kingdom before. They didn't work out so well. I've just blown it. Today's the day to get up. Today's the day to get up. Say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to go forward in Him. And rather than just trusting in our own limited ability, to know that with Christ with us, we can do all things. All things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, I pray over us collectively. I know we're praying personally, but I pray over us collectively. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would follow the example set for us by this man from so many years before, that when he stepped into this new role of having to be courageous and having to step out in a fresh new start in spite of what had happened, I pray that you would help us to walk in this as well, Lord God, that we would truly experience all that you have for us. It's not better that we stay on the other side. It's better that we work together and go forward in you. That's what was right. Joshua was wrong. We want to go forward in you as well. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you.